good morning to you, whether you're down by the schoolyard or not. We're glad you're with us this morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. This is The Conversation. And good morning to you, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Many signs that young people are more engaged in electoral politics than they have been in past
or that perhaps
presidential cycles.
Yeah. We've been willing to say that they are. We're going to talk about that part this morning. Now, last Saturday, Hawaii Democrats overwhelmingly said they preferred Bernie Sanders. Still, to look at who polls well for Sanders, you could call him the kids' candidate. In every primary and caucus, he does markedly better with young voters than Hillary Clinton. But relying on the youth vote is a risky strategy, as young people are the least likely to vote, or so we've heard. Then again, there have been some notable departures in the not-so-long view. Contributing editor Neil Milner is back with some recent research that shows that millennials are indeed politically and civically engaged. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you're going to myth bust here a little bit, because mostly we talk about how if you're, you know, in the early years of voting, that unless you are tremendously moved, you're probably not going to vote. But this looks like a year where we have a lot of young people who feel tremendously moved.
Well, maybe, maybe not. They're tremendously moved now, but the likelihood is that they will have the lowest turnout of any age group. That's just always the case. It may be higher than last time. And what usually happens is that people then go ahead and blame young people for being selfish, in this case, millennials and narcissistic, and all of those kinds of things, and the sign of a general malaise. And there's been some recent research that looks at that kind of question. But I think the pattern is pretty clear. You do have a lot of folks working for Sanders, just as you had a lot of folks, young folks, working for Obama. But when push comes to shove, their turnout is not as great as other age groups. And there's been a lot of studies that show that if you have to depend on the youth vote, you're not going to win the presidency.
It sounds a little bit like that old Bye Bye Birdie song, What's the Matter with Kids Today? But that's not really what I'm hearing you say in sort of the fullness of all of it. That there really is. There are those subtleties and those nuances that we have to take notice of and not try to paint it so well.
Yeah, it's really not subtle. It's some interesting research by Russell Dalton, social scientist at the University of California, Irvine. He's compared the political activity of youths. We call them millennials now, but young voters in 1967, 1987, 2014, and there's some standard kinds of questions. And what's interesting is this. The millennials, compared to the other younger groups in those two other years, are slightly less likely to vote, but they're more likely to participate in politics and in civic affairs in other ways. They're more likely to work with groups. They're more likely to do kind of consumer boycotts. They're more likely to participate in politics through social media. That is, that they're more heavily engaged than young people used to be. And then there's this study at UCLA that does this kind of, you participate in various ways. They say that the last time they did this, which I think was last year, they had college students were more involved in those kind of civic activities than were any other of the cohort groups that they had done in the past.
But you mentioned a very important differing issue with the last cohort as opposed to the other ones in 67 and 87. They didn't have social media.
That's exactly right. And so there are two things going on here that we have to understand, one of which is that the millennials are participating in ways that we don't always that we understand are important. But in years of elections, we tend to emphasize voting so much. So the first thing is to see that they are involved in civic affairs much more readily. And the second thing is that they're involved in new ways that lots of people, older people, still don't pay as much attention to. And that's social media. So when you talk about consumer boycotts, for example, and you talk about protest, both of which the millennials are more likely to be involved with than, say, the earlier groups, that has something to do with the use of social media to organize those things.
But bring this back to what we've been seeing recently, which is that Bernie Sanders resonates really well with younger voters, and they seem to be turning out.
Well, they're turning. Well, I don't know if they're turning out. You don't hear about turnout. You hear about support. And there is a big difference. There's a kind of chaotic way that we report on caucuses and primaries. It's still not clear to me whether more young people are working in this campaign than in the past. But the bottom line, and then I want to move away from the election thing that we don't emphasize the voting thing too much, but the bottom line is that you can bet the house on the fact that their turnout is going to be lower than the turnout of people who are older. Now, it might be higher than it was in 2012. I'm not sure that's the case. But that they're a low voter turnout group. What I'm trying to get across is that that doesn't mean that they're not politically engaged or civically engaged in other ways.
And it's those other ways that you think that we need to be looking at
yeah.
a lot more deeply, because it might be far more important for someone to be turning up weekly or monthly or whatever to an organization and be involved with ongoing activity than necessarily just turning out to vote?
I think that's right. I think that we overemphasize voting, not in a kind of rationality way, but in a moral way. That is, we tend to see people's citizenship in terms of whether they vote. And I'm suggesting here that what happens with young people is that they get labeled as being not caring. What I'm suggesting here is broaden your scope, that civic work, that other kinds of political work, which is more under the radar, is arguably more important in everyday life than voting. Now, there's no reason you have to make a choice. There's no reason that a college kid can't get out of the dorm and go and vote. I'm not saying that that's unimportant, and sure, you should vote. But there are all these other kinds of activities that young people are in. And by the way, that was some of my experience when I was teaching at UH, that I was always amazed at how much community work these students did. But that's an important part of civic affairs. And it also suggests that Robert Putnam and some of these other people who see the lack of conventional participation as a sign of malaise may be too pessimistic, that you have to look in some different places that are very valued places.
Too pessimistic, or just looking with a very narrowed lens?
Well, they're too pessimistic. They generalize from that. They generalize about the political malaise. Now, there is a kind of cynicism, you know, the degree of cynicism and distrust and skepticism about political candidates is quite high among all age groups. But there are other things going on that are incredibly important to the way we carry on our public affairs, maybe at smaller scale, that we have to recognize. And when we run into these presidential campaigns, it's all too easy to forget about those and to stigmatize non-voters, assuming that they don't care at all. Just one final point about this. When I was learning about political participation, you basically learned that if you didn't vote, that was an indication of being politically unattached. It turns out that that was not exactly right, that we now see that there is something more that you have to look at.
For the moment, we're going to let that stand, and we'll see how this begins to play out later and be watching the millennials a little more closely with a little more subtlety. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Neil Milner is our contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View. He'll be back in a couple of weeks.